Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. On this episode, my guest is Princess Victoria. We talk about breaking into wrestling, the Fabulous Moolah, Abdullah the Butcher, and much, much more. So let's just get right to it. What do you say? And let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have my interview with Princess Victoria.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Philcenter Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilcingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Philcinger Games, PhilcingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Princess Victoria. Vicky, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Very, very good. Let's talk. We don't have to go into details if you don't want to, but you had a very traumatic childhood.
Yes, sir.
And when did you discover pro wrestling? And did it help you, even if just for a little bit, escape some of that stuff you were going through?
Well, if it hadn't been for pro wrestling, I don't think I'd be sitting here today.
Okay.
When I left home at 14, it was basically a leave or die situation.
Right. Okay.
I had woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning to find my mother had come home drunk from the bar, and she was just beating the living crap out of me in my sleep.
God.
And I somehow got up and I started, you know, fending off her blows because I didn't. Even though she wasn't a great mother, she still was my mother.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, there was a little trick Sandy taught me. If you take your thumb here, put your finger here on the knuckle, mm-hmm. do it to yourself. And I did that, got her to calm down. And I believe it was 15, no more than 30 minutes, got everything that I could pack into my suitcase and I left.
Yeah.
Sylvia and I had a deal that she would tell people that I was 16 because, you know, we're talking back 1975. You could still take a note to the cashier at this local store and get your parents cigarettes.
Right. Yeah.
I ain't even going to lie about how many times I forged those notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I left, I ended up sleeping in doorways and all that when I got to Portland.
Yeah.
And then Sylvia scrolled me a note so that I could go in. You know, you had to take a health test to become a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
And I started waiting tables at Denny's and see. Some of my most fond memories are Saturday night sitting between my grandfather's legs watching wrestling on TV.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was in Portland and this was the wrestling I was watching, so I started going to the matches. And this one day I got my paycheck and I went out and I bought this beautiful chiffon dress that had a Chinese collar and a pair of candies. Now, are you old enough to remember the candies?
Nope.
They were basically the first stilettos.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
And they weren't made from wood. They were made of a plastic compound.
Okay.
But anyway, I went to pay for my ticket. My money was passed back to me. Sandy gave me a ticket, and I looked at the ticket. I said, you gave me the wrong ticket. He said, no, that's your seat from now on, which was on the front row.
Okay.
Then I quit my job, and I came to the matches one night, told Sandy I needed a job. I happened to be in a dress again. I said, well, I can't work like this. And the next day was Sunday, his flea market. And I showed up there. I started helping when the flea market was over. I started helping, you know, clean up the mess, break down the tables. And the next thing I knew, I was learning how to set up a ring.
Yeah.
Well, this went on for about, I want to say, six to eight months. And all of a sudden, Sandy comes up to me and he says, look, I don't know if you know it, but I've got a school, a wrestling school. And I've got this girl who wants to learn to wrestle, but I can't have her wrestle guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be a body? And like every good wrestler, my first question was, does it pay?
Right, yeah.
And I had no intention of becoming a wrestler at that time. I loved the matches. You know, I knew a few of the guys. I'm coming to this training, and Sandy is not like the trainers today, which is a big problem for wrestling today. We train 6 days a week, sometimes 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night.
Yeah.
And then one day the girl didn't show up, and I cannot remember her name to save my soul. And so Sandy says, well, you know, you can just train here. I didn't think anything about it until about 2 weeks plus later, I realized, wait a minute. Sandy had me come in to train with this girl because she couldn't train with the guys. She's gone. I'm here and I'm training with the guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by that time I was already hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just like a fish, big old big mouth bass. And that's how I got into wrestling.
And of course, you're talking about Sandy Barr, right? There in Portland. Sandy Barr.
Yes, sir. Sandy yeah. Barr, the man mm-hmm. who trained me.
Yeah.
Great man, great wrestler, great referee. I was taught how to Greco-Roman wrestle before I ever learned professional wrestling.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. we were doing sit outs, takedowns, you know, the whole nine yards. And Sandy was a tough customer.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a garbage can on each side of the ring, and it wasn't if you were going to throw up, it's when you were going to throw up, and are you going to hit the garbage can? And then Sandy came in one day, and he had this redhead with him, who turned out to be Velvet McIntyre.
That was who I was asking you about next, Velvet, yeah.
Yeah, and we trained hard. I had more dark matches the first 6 to 8 months that I was training than I had after that. I mean, we came in. Sandy had Velvet's from Canada, and he had agreed with her parents that she could live with him. And he got sick of me being late because of public transportation. So I ended up moving in.
Okay.
Now, we woke up in the morning. Sandy would wake us up in the morning, which I think that's why I'm not a morning person today. You know, 7 o'clock in the morning comes early.
Yeah.
But he'd have us, fresh squeeze, glass of orange juice. We'd go out, we'd do cardio. And what he had us do is we warmed up walking a block. Then you jogged a block. Then you ran a block. Then you jogged a block. Then you walked a block for 5 miles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not going to say I never blew up in the ring, but it took a lot to get me to blow up.
Sure.
I think the first time that I really blew up was Velvet and I's first match on TV. And that was the longest 10 years and 10 minutes I've ever had in my life.
I bet. Yeah. And your and Velvet's careers were pretty much intertwined from there on out.
We wrestled each other. When Sandy came to us one day and said, look, if you girls, and he had sent us to Al Tomko. Don Owens had done everything he could. Ed Moretti had, you know, done a tour with us. But Sandy said, I can't get you booked like Moolah can get you booked.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how we ended up at Moolah's.
Yeah, you trained with Moolah for a while. So what was that like? Because people are very divisive about Moolah. What's your take on her?
There's Moolah, who I respect as a wrestler. And there's Lillian Ellison, the booker.
There you go.
I don't like Lillian Ellison.
Yeah, there you go.
She was a manipulating, lying thief.
Yeah.
Judy Martin even has proof because we all kept this book. You know, what town we're wrestling, how many miles was it? Because I had a car. Everybody, if I had one or four girls in the car, everybody paid a nickel a mile.
Okay.
And I had the money. I paid for the motel, wrote it down how much it was. We split it either two, three, or four ways. And Moolah, unfortunately, the only people that paid us girls cash was Don Owens and Bill Watts.
Okay.
They would not. And, you know, I went to get a draw from Bill Watts. He says, here's your pay for the night. And it was really funny because I was making more money running shows with Bill Watts than I was in Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. Well, Moolah was getting her cut, right?
Oh, what she pretty much what Judy figured out is she would depending on how big the payday was, she'd take anywhere between 25 and 50% right off the top.
Oof.
Tell us we got this amount. Then charge us another 25% booking fees on the half that she gave us.
Man.
And she tried to keep us girls at each other's throats.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Divide and conquer. Well, with me.
When you were with Mula, did you live on her compound ranch thing or whatever?
Yeah, it was a compound.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I did. In fact, Mula's house was right here. There was a pond out here. She had the pond that was separated by a driveway. And right here was a little cabin. From what I gathered, she had bought these houses from Fort Jackson when they were getting, you know, building better buildings for our officers.
Yeah.
And that's what we lived in. And mine was right on the edge of the lake.
Okay.
I think it was more so she could watch me because I, and to this day, I am a very hard-headed person.
Yeah.
Mula had this thing where if you weren't in by a certain time, she'd lock the gates. And I have parked my car outside the gate and climbed that damn gate more times than I care to even admit. But as a wrestler, I respect Mula. She came up in a very hard time. If it wasn't for Mula, there would be no me. There would be no Velvet McIntyre. You know, Joyce Grable, Judy Martin, Leilani Kai. And I have to respect what she went through and what she did for wrestling. But yeah. I don't have to respect Lillian Ellison.
Sure.
You know, and that's basically the way I feel about it. I was very upset when they took her name off the eight-woman battle or the battle royal for the women.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Snickers, and we all know it was Snickers,
mm-hmm.
and Vinnie Mac's weak spine. And now Snickers backs football. They bought back baseball. They bought back basketball.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about Michael Vick?
Mm-hmm.
Who killed well over 60 dogs.
Yeah.
He lived 60 miles. And it's weird. I use 60, I guess, a lot. He lived approximately 60 miles from my house. And I also knew some of the rescues that came to get those dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And what everybody saw on TV, multiply it by 10. That's how it actually were. There were some of the dogs they had no choice but to euthanize because they were so beat. They were so, you couldn't get near them to get them in a cage. You couldn't get near them to feed them.
Yeah.
Which you can't, I mean, that's what he did with those pit bulls.
Right, yeah.
And he's probably the main reason why everybody has this fear of pit bulls to this day.
Yeah.
I don't, since I met my first pit bull, that's all I've had.
Sure, yeah. Well, and that's how, I mean, a lot of wrestlers fall into that, right? You can respect what they did in their career. And not respect them as a person. It's two, right? There's two lanes there.
Exactly. But once you crawl in between those ropes, no personalities, no inner conflicts. That's when the business began.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Joyce Grable and I were not the greatest of friends, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got in the ring with her, she was 100% professional. Our problems outside the ring did not exist in the ring.
Right, yeah.
And that's the way it should be handled.
And there's lots of cases of that in history, right? Guys that didn't get along, but would work together to make money.
Exactly. You know, you can't. So Joyce and I had a tiff. Am I going to throw away a $200 night or a $500 night just because I have a tip with Joyce? No.
Yep. Yep.
And she was the same way, I can honestly say. And I do respect Joyce for the way she handled it, because she handled it like an adult. And didn't, like I had no problem with her in the ring at all.
Right, yeah. Well, and going back to you and Velvet, right? You, in 84, you guys were in the WWF, recognized as the first WWF tag women's tag champs. Did you come into the WWF? Is that through Moolah? Did she get you booked in on the WWF? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Moolah had a stranglehold on New York.
Right, right.
They did not book anybody, any women, except for Moolah's women.
Right, yeah.
And we took... Velvet and I got the belts one night, and if you watch the match, you can see me hook Velvet's arm, and we kind of do a do-si-do, and I'm looking around, and I go, look at all these effing people, Velvet.
Yeah.
I even messed up the first spot. And anybody who knows anything about wrestling, if you look real hard, you can see I messed it up. But Wendy, boom, that's what you did. You covered it. You didn't. These kids today, and I've heard this with my own ears, they will sit in a dressing room and talk over a 15-minute match for 2 hours.
Right, yeah.
You know, every single move.
Yeah.
Well, right there, you're excluding the fans.
Sure.
Because you're not listening to them.
Yep.
And another thing that I have seen is when they mess something up, they stand there like, "Oh God, what do I do now?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And that phrase, I got to get my this in, and I got to get my, I would love to throw that phrase in the trash.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you, it's about the fans.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And while in WWF, right, you suffered a neck injury, which, you know, kind
of my neck.
Yeah. Side reeled everything, right? Because things were booming. You and Velvet were doing great. The WWF was huge. I mean, and with you and your, you know, your look and everything else, it would have fit right in, but then the neck injury kind of threw it all away, right? I mean, it.
Well, I literally broke my neck.
Yeah.
My neck, and I finally got a doctor who looked at the x-rays, and he found the break. And now I broke the second vertebrae, and now 3, 4, and 5 are naturally fused together. I'm literally doing, I'm on disability because I can't work. I can't. I would love to, because I've worked all my life.
Right,
whether it be wrestling or be my thrift shop, waiting table, whatever. I always had a job.
Yeah.
Up until the stuff started happening with my body.
Yeah.
And most of the therapists that I go to, especially at the pain clinic, they tell me it all comes from me getting my neck broke and not being given any medical attention.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what, you know, and they replaced you with Desiree Peterson, right, in the tag champs, and they moved on. What had the neck thing not happened, speculate. You're just speculating, obviously. Where do you think things would have went for you with the WWF and the boom and in your career?
Oh, I believe Velvet and I would have shot straight to the top with Wendy and with the Glamour Girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were supposed to wrestle the Jumping Bomb Angels. Another thing that Lillian Ellison messed up. Lillian called Judy in Japan and told her that Pat Patterson had just called her and they were supposed to drop the belts to the Jumping Bomb Angels, which was a stone cold lie. And that destroyed the Glamour Girls. Because they were supposed to go to Japan, start the feud, and then they'd finish the feud here in the States.
Right.
Another one of Moolah's manipulations.
Yeah.
But I believe at that time in the business, we had Wendy Richter.
Yeah.
Leilani Kai, Judy Martin, Velvet McIntyre, Joyce Grable. I mean, you talk about a stable of women wrestlers who were fantastic in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, in my opinion, you don't. Debbie Combs, I would put in there, but she didn't work for wrestling. But what could have happened if I hadn't broke my neck is I believe that we would have been on top. I mean, they were starting to put us in. Bill Watts put me and Sabrina in on Main Event, and we got the NWA tag team belts from Joyce and Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got them back. Then they, I don't know if it was Vince Sr. or Moolah, but they paired me and Velvet together.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in our days of wrestling each other, I mean, it was almost a psychic connection because I could tell by the way that Velvet grab my hand or grab my, I knew what was going to come.
Yeah.
And Velvet was, you know, I trusted Velvet with my body.
Yeah.
And she took great care of me. I believe that we would have had, I mean, can you imagine what would have happened in the 80s if there was those six female wrestlers?
Yeah.
Where women's wrestling would have, there wouldn't have been any blasted evening gown and lingerie matches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the girls that had to work under Vince.
Yeah. And I mean, and Moolah undercut Wendy too. Why do you think all that, was it just the control, the jealousy, all of the above?
all of the above and more. Moolah couldn't get past her ego. You know, she couldn't get past her ego.
Yeah.
And if she had sat back and realized it, and I hope I would have been smart enough at her age to realize it, all she had to do was sit at her desk, make phone calls, and collect money.
Yeah, yeah.
But she couldn't step out of the limelight.
Yeah, right.
And what they did to Wendy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to me, that's equal to the great screw job with Bret Hart.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what she did to Judy and Leilani. Mm-hmm. There's another screw job. You know, why are you messing with your talent, the ones that are bringing you in the money? There had to be some. The only thing I can point at is her ego.
Yeah, right.
And it's set.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring, right? You talked to, you know, you were on the Moolah Dark Side of the Ring and talked about her. When you broke your neck, did Moolah just hear from her anymore? Was she just done with you? You couldn't make her any money, and was that it?
Well, after I broke my neck, and now, see, I have a lot of very blank spots from the moment I broke my neck. I sat down and I let myself cool off because you don't want to get in the shower while you're still pumping sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to bend down to untie my boot, and I felt like somebody had stabbed me with a sword.
Yeah. Okay.
So I sat back, and like all the wrestlers, I went, oh, well, what muscle have I pulled now? You know, we didn't go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Everything would heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue with a lot of us right now is we literally gave our lives for wrestling.
Well, if you didn't work, you didn't get paid, right? I mean.
That's right.
Yep.
And so I went to bend over the next time. And I have no memory. I know that I must have screamed very loud because the next memory I have, I'm on a gurney and I've got two EMTs and they're putting me into an ambulance.
Oh.
And I went to the hospital. They told me I had a broken neck. And then somehow, I have no idea how, but somehow I got back to South Carolina to the Hill.
Okay.
I still to this day don't have a memory of that.
Okay.
But every few days, Mula would take me out to the gym to see if I could take a bump.
Oh.
Right. And I would scream to high heaven. Well, then she had a fan. I won't mention his name. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. Those in the know, know.
Okay.
She put me on the phone with this guy from Amsterdam, or from Holland.
Uh-huh.
And I sat there and talked with him, and he wanted me to come over and wanted me, you know, wanted to take me on a tour of Europe. And I let him know right away, number one, we have separate hotel rooms. No, there's no excuse. Either separate motel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he kept making passes and all of this. And at one point he said, what's your price? He said, everybody has a price. I've got money. I'm a Duke. I got women falling at my feet. And I looked at him. I said, Ernie, I don't give up rat's patootie about your money or your feet. That same day, he asked me the question, well, what would you do if I took your passport? Excuse my language. I said, after I beat the shit out of you, I'm going to the American consulate. I'm going to file every charge against you I can find.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ended up going home, and it was within 2 weeks, Mula pulled me into her office and told me, okay, you can't wrestle. You owe me X amount of dollars for back rent. And I'll take the yellow outfit, the white outfit, the brown outfit that I gave you, and the boots to match, and that'll pay your rent. But you need to go out and get a job. Or you need to leave. I left Mula's with my... I had a Chevy Malibu station wagon. I packed everything that I could that I owned in that station wagon. I left there with $20 in my pocket.
Whew.
Right.
Yeah.
And my heart was broke.
Yeah.
Because I was not. I came from the Pacific Northwest in an era with the likes of Buddy Rose, Roddy Piper, you know, Ed Wiskowski, mm-hmm. the Sheep Herders, Stan Stasiak, Dutch Savage.
Yeah.
And we, at that time, wrestling was just blooming.
Yeah, yeah.
We never went to anything but sold out houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I got hurt, when I broke my collarbone and I got hurt, Don took care of me, Don Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he found something else for me to do. You know, right. I had to do, you know, interviews and things like that for upcoming matches.
Right.
When Velvet had to go back to Canada, he found something for me to do.
Yeah.
Bill Watts, during the Buddy Landell, Wendy, and me and Lanny Poffo tag team.
Mm-hmm.
When Buddy gave me that front forearm to the face, I had my neck just right that a nerve slipped in between the second and third vertebrae. It's called Bell's palsy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The right side of my face was paralyzed. And like I've said before, like every good wrestler, you know, oh, it'll heal itself. I'll be all right in a few days.
Yep.
And one day I walked in the dressing room and I was looking in the mirror trying to put on my makeup, and my right eye had started to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started crying. And Magnum TA, Terry Allen,
mm-hmm.
came in. He goes, "What's wrong, Princess?" And I told him. The next morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from Bill Watts. "You have an appointment with such and such a doctor at such and such an address at such and such a time. If you don't go to this appointment, don't show up to the matches tonight." I never got a bill for it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way that Bill and Don, it wasn't just me that they treated that way. It was all their people.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, Bill Watts gave Junkyard Dog, was it a Mercedes or a BMW? I forgot.
Yeah.
I think it was Mercedes. You know, they treated their people right.
Right,
they
yeah.
knew that was money in their pockets if they took care of their wrestlers.
Sure.
So when Moolah just said, you know, basically hit the road, I left there with $20 in my pocket, and I slept in my car for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Man.
And then I met a guy who ended up being my first husband and had my son. And that's the name of that tune. I mean, Moolah didn't care.
Yeah, sure.
There's always somebody fill my place. Hell, Desiree had the tag team belts on before I was a block down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you have an autobiography, right? Called Princess Victoria, A Tale of Tears, Triumphs, and Turnbuckles.
Right there.
There it is. Yep. Which you wrote with your sister, correct? And John Cosper.
My sister did some editing. Yes.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And it was published in 2021. And yes. People, if people are interested, they can go to eatsleepwrestle.com. That's Cosper's website.
Absolutely get
them a copy. Go ahead.
Or they can contact me on Facebook under Vicky Otis.
Vicky Otis, okay.
And I will send them the book, personalized and autographed, and I pay postage for $35.
There you go. Well, that's a good deal, right? Get a signed book. So what made you decide at that time to write your autobiography? To do it.
I had actually started writing my autobiography about 10 years. Well, actually, no, it was longer than that. 2021. It was before 2008.
Oh, okay.
Because my second husband died in 2008.
Okay.
But I had started writing my story, and fair warning, the first 70 pages are a rough road at home because it's about my childhood.
Right, which we mentioned earlier, yeah.
Right. And I had written that. I was gonna do a book called When Rabbits Die.
Okay.
It's a reference as to some things I heard.
Okay.
And it's in the book.
Okay.
And when I went to have my husband read it, we had our computer set up in the living room. He sat down and he turned around and looked at me and said, "I can't read anymore." And he had tears rolling down his face.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, if it wasn't for wrestling, I'm not sure I'd be here. Because when I started going to the matches, I was headed down a very, very dark road.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, between the ages of 10 and 14, I probably tried to commit suicide 8 or 9 times or more.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's the reason why I started the book out like I did. If one person reads that book and instead of making a permanent decision on a temporary situation,
mm-hmm.
and realize, look, I went through it. I'm still here. you know, go get some help.
Yeah.
You know, go talk to, find yourself a counselor. And a lot of people, what they do is they'll go to one counselor, their counselor doesn't fit, and then they quit. No, you got to keep finding, you got to keep looking for that one person who gets you.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not always the first counselor you go to.
Right.
But, and then, I don't remember, oh, I was talking to Scott Teal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Scott Teal has done a lot of wrestling books.
Sure, Crowbar Press, yeah.
Yep, and I asked him, I said, would you write my book? He said, Vicky, right now I'm 2 years behind.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
Oh, and a wonderful man, and his wife sure makes the best potato salad.
Yeah, I love Scott.
Yeah, Scott's an awesome person.
Yeah.
I said, well, do you have anybody that you would refer me to? And he gave me two names, and one of them was John Cosper. I can't remember the other guy's name because he didn't answer. Hmm. And a little thing that I haven't put in the book, I don't think, is that I had been dealing with a guy for 5 years that was supposed to be writing my story. Well, when I asked him what he had after, you know, this enormous amount of time, he hadn't gotten anything past what I had written.
Mm.
So when I called John and John called me right back, I believe that was in November or December, and the book was on the on Amazon. I believe it was March or August. It was a very short time. And John's good
mm-hmm.
at what he does.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you what I pay for my books, but he's got it set up that if I want it, like I'm getting ready to go do a GeekCon in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah.
I'm taking 100 books with me.
Okay.
I get them at cost.
Right, yeah.
And John made things so easy. He went and listened to podcasts. He wanted a list of names, you know, of people that he could talk to that had their funny little stories about me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I love my friends.
Yeah. I mean, I love John too, right? He's got a lot of great books out there. He's done a lot of good work. Still doing work.
Yeah.
I mean, still putting books out pretty regularly. He does a lot of good work.
Oh, yeah. He not only puts out his own detective-style books, he writes a lot of wrestling stuff.
He does. Yeah, and you mentioned going to the convention. We've seen the Glamour Girls and Jumping Mountain Angels have reunited. Is there a chance that we might ever see you and Velvet reunite for a signing?
God, I wish I could get it through her thick head. I love you, Velvet, but...
Does she not do much?
She left... Not only did she leave with a bad taste in her mouth wrestling...
Yeah.
She has her family.
Mm.
I mean, this is a girl, a woman, who makes her own dog food. She makes her own soap.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got this huge garden.
Yeah.
She's got a bear stick because she goes out in the woods and picks blackberries, and the stick is to scare the bear. Now, who are you going to help? If you see Velvet fighting a bear, who are you going to help?
Yeah. Well, I wish you'd go out there and do some because, yeah, if she left with a sour taste, it would be good for her to get out there and do some conventions and connect with the fans who appreciate what she did.
Well, she's starting very slowly to reconnect.
Good, good.
We've sent her, I've sent her pictures, 8x10s, and she's signed them of us with the belts.
Yeah.
And I sign them too.
Yeah.
You know, so she's not completely out of touch.
Good. Well, let's wrap this up. You said you're out there making appearances. You got a con coming up. How can people follow you And know when you're doing these appearances, when you have things scheduled. What's the best way for them to do that?
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Let's see. Where is my book? My password book.
There you go. There you go. I got one of those too.
Let's see. That's Ancestry. That's Apple. That's not what I'm looking for. Nope. All right. Where is it? All right. The easiest way to get in touch with me is go to Vicki Otis, V-I-C-K-I, O, T as in Tom, I-S on Facebook.
Yeah, okay.
Friend me. Let me know that you want a book. Let me know that you want 8x10s. If you look at my page, I've got 15 different shots that I sell somewhere between 10 and 15.
Okay.
There's two with me and Velvet with the belts that Velvet has signed. And if you want to buy one of those are 25.
Okay.
And I'll sign it and personalize it. Velvet has autographed it, but I do the personalization because I'm the one sending it out.
Gotcha. Yep.
And what else? Oh, my jewelry.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Let me get one of my best pieces. Everybody flipped on this one. Which way do we go? That's the way. This one right here.
Yeah.
Now that is natural mother of pearl.
Okay.
Turquoise and buffalo bone.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I of course, you know, gotta have the goth going. That one is turquoise, brass, and turquoise and brass.
Okay. And do you post these up on your Facebook page too?
If you get to my page, you will see the pinned post.
Gotcha. Okay.
Of the necklaces I have up for sale. Also, scroll down because I've got other necklaces. I don't put them in the pinned post right away because half the time, the new pieces are the ones that sell the fastest.
Sure, yeah.
So
if they add you on Facebook, Vicki Otis,
yes,
they can see the jewelry. They can get the autograph pictures of you. There's autograph pictures of you and Velvet. There's the book that you can get personalized from you. So that's how they can do it. All they can do is add you on there. They can message you, whatever they want. Just ask you for it. Make arrangements. Easy peasy.
That's it.
There you go.
Easy peasy.
And I assume, though, also these appearances you do, you post that up. You share those on your Facebook page as well, right? Probably?
Yeah. Well, right now, the only thing I've got in front of me right now is Shreveport.
Sure. But I'm sure, future appearances, right? You'll share those as well. Yeah. So if they add you, they can see where you're going to be.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir. And like you said, right, you're working on Velvet, so there might be that potential for a Victoria Velvet appearance of the future. You never know.
Well, you know, I've been in retail business all my life, and I think that'd be a serious show.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we haven't been in the same room in over 40 years.
And I'm sure once you are, it'd be just like you never miss the day, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. When we call each other and all that. You know, it's like, oh, I talked to you yesterday. It may have been 5 years ago, but I talked to you yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there you go. You can add Victoria on Vicki on Facebook and check out all of her stuff, the books, the pictures, the jewelry, all kinds of things there from Princess Victoria. And also see any future appearances. And, see if there's any new drama with Abby and what's her name. I don't know. Whatever. If anything new, whatever's going on there. But, you know, hey, while we're
at that point, I just say, No mas.
Yeah, that's right. But while we're on it, I will plug Scotty's book about Abby. To go out and check Scotty's book out. It's on Amazon. It's on everything. He does have a new hardcover version coming out.
It's called Becoming the Butcher, the Man Behind the Myth. And there you go. It is on Amazon.
That's right. And like I said, he's got an expanded hardcover edition getting ready to come out.
Right.
Very soon. Scotty's a good guy. So go while you're out there. Pick up one of Scotty's books as well and help him out in all this whatever, turmoil. I don't even know what to call it. Just buy the book. And
right.
and hit up Victoria.
Don't ask
and,
any questions.
That's right. Just don't worry about the stuff.
Forward and buy the book.
Just buy the book. Yeah. And hit up Vicky and buy her book and don't worry about anything else. And
right.
All's good. So Vicky, thank you for coming on and talk to me. We could talk forever. But I don't want to give away too much because I want people to go buy your book to get some more stories through the book. And
there you go.
And that's what I said, like with the childhood. I don't want to talk about too much. Buy the book. You can hear that there and
yep,
read that
and
there.
If,
so
if one person, if it stops one person.
That's right. That's,
from giving up.
That's right.
Then I made my goal.
Absolutely. That's a great goal too. But Vicky, thank you. Thank you for all you've done in wrestling. Thank you for paving the path. Right. Women's wrestling is pretty big right now. It's very big. They've got their own pay-per-views and everything else. And I've told many, many, many of you, like, it's because of wrestlers like you who paved the way, who did your thing then so that the women could do what they do now.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I've been watching Rhea Ripley.
Oh, she's something, isn't she?
She's something. I'm not sure I'd want to wrestle her. I think she might just whoop my tail all over that ring.
When you talk about that it factor, whatever it is, man, she's
oh
got it
God,
in loads.
She's got it. If you can turn this girl into a mark,
that's right.
You got it.
That's right. I don't watch much modern wrestling.
Me into a mark.
Me too.
Oh,
I don't watch much modern wrestling. Most of it doesn't. But man, I will check out everything with her because she is absolutely talented. She's wonderful.
Oh, and yes, she's fantastic. And
yep.
I know you want to get out of here.
No, no, it's okay. But
she to me is what wrestling is supposed to be.
Yeah, and I see all kinds of videos with her and fans and different things, and she's very grateful, very humble, and seeing that.
Did you see the one where they tried to say that Rhea was trying to get this fan thrown out? And what it turned out to be is Rhea was telling the kid to come over there so that
yeah,
they could take
yeah,
a picture.
Yeah,
No, she's doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's something. She's male, female, whatever. She's one of the best talents in the business right now. She's incredible. But again, she's getting to do her thing because of the path you guys laid before her. And so thank you for that on their behalf and everybody else's behalf. And you got stuff out there. Everybody go do a search on YouTube. Find some Princess Victoria stuff. There's some out there.
You'll find a lot. Somehow
that's right.
I'm all over.
That's right. Always is. So, and again, go buy the book. Go buy some jewelry. Go buy some pictures. Lots of stuff there. Just hit up Vicky Otis on Facebook. Vicky, thank you for joining me and talking. And maybe we'll revisit down the road and talk again.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Have a great day, and thank you for having me.
You too. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF Project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to The Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity, Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Princess Victoria for coming on and doing that interview. Ooh, it was a hot one, wasn't it, huh? She was not holding back in that interview. Great, great stuff. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. You can look me up anywhere as Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or look at The Dave Dynasty, and you'll find me on pretty much all platforms. Go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can go to WrestleCopia.com, or you can look them up individually by name on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library at ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account, and then you can download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. All right, this show is now back to a weekly schedule. By the time you are hearing this, I had to think about it for a minute. I will be moved. The move will be complete. I will be in Florida settling in, so we should be getting back to our weekly schedule. And if all things go as planned, I'm going to go ahead and say it. My next episode, I will be joined by Sam Snuka, the son of Jimmy Snuka, who is also known as Deuce in the WWE. So, barring any unforeseen circumstances, Sim will be my guest on the next episode. Guys, thank you for bearing with me during the move and the bi-weekly schedule and all this and that. Hopefully you have enjoyed the content I have put out, even though it has been a little reduced. But like I said, everything should be back to normal and we should be rolling here on Wrestling Nostalgia. So until next episode, guys, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia, copyright Dave Dynasty, Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.